I didn't create this situation. I'm dealing with it. You're acting like a first-year fucking thief. I'm acting like a professional.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is A Morning Somewhere for May 13th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. You meet her in Manhattan, watch out. She's got a mean left hook. Ashley Burns, how do you doing, Asha?
Yeah, not too bad. Good morning and welcome to the new week.
Yeah, I looked at the date May 13th. May.
You sure it's not March?
13th. It felt like an unlucky day, but I don't know why. Monday the 13th. Feels worse than Friday the 13th. Like, why are we so upset if Friday's on the 13th?
Well, you got a
Monday
case
on the 13th seems way worse.
Well, you got a case of the Mondays, Bernie?
Headlines that are going around now. There's some stuff about AI. OpenAI is going to have an announcement later today. The Bumble CEO also weighed in. Famous dating app. She weighed in on the future of AI and dating. Apes at the box office are making apes in the Wall Street Bets super happy. And then the drop from today was about Steve Buscemi getting punched in the face in Manhattan.
And also, the sky lit up last week.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Can I just say something?
You may.
I can't be territorial about the sky, yet somehow I am.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's why. Because I've wanted to see the Aurora Borealis here in northern Scotland.
Aurora Borealis.
A stone's throw away from the North Pole. And we've been hunting it and hunting it and hunting it. We've seen it a couple times, like, kind of a little iffy or whatever. Then suddenly we get this incredible night where it's clear. There's a G5 magnetic storm.
Hasn't happened since 2005, if I recall correctly.
I was really excited about this. Had a tripod by the front door ready to go. We went out in the middle of the night, took some amazing photos of the Aurora Borealis. And then motherfuckers from Arkansas are posting videos.
Because it got all that way south.
It did. It went everywhere. But we should all bask in the wonder of our universe. And I should be happy that more people got to experience this than ever before.
Now, I'm glad that we got to see it at a time that was more or less guaranteed, because it gave me a really good idea what to expect when looking for the Northern Lights. You know, you see all these photos, right? You see the photos and they're just these fluorescent lights. And you go outside.
Ribbons.
And you look up and you go, I don't see any fluorescent lights. And it was really valuable to me to be able to see, like, to know exactly when it was going to happen and that it's happening right now. Because when I looked up in the sky, if I didn't know for sure that they were happening, I would have missed it.
If you sat there and looked at it long enough, you'd be like, oh, there's something going on here. But I've often thought about, I don't know, are you like this? When I see some kind of natural phenomenon like that, like an eclipse or the Aurora Borealis, for some reason, I don't know why, I immediately think about primitive people, like hundreds of thousands of years ago, thinking, what did they think of this? Because I feel like I'm sharing something that's incredible that they would have also seen.
Like wonder that's built into your DNA.
Like they probably didn't get excited about the iPhone 5, you know? That's an experience unique to my time, but this is something I share with them.
Yes, I really enjoy when we've gone to those sort of zero light pollution areas and you look up at the stars and you actually see the ribbons of the Milky Way and you see just this incredible density of stars in the night. You understand why people wrote poems and songs about them. It's this incredible sense of wonder. And I got that as well with the Northern Lights. Thanks to my iPhone.
Yeah, we really did get some incredible photos. We would share them, but you've already seen them 1,000 times.
You've probably got them on your own phone.
And you fall in one of two categories with this. You're like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is the most incredible thing I ever saw. And it's like, the other category is, there were Northern Lights? I was asleep. What happened? And you missed out on this thing that everyone got to see.
Yes. I think we've missed a couple. And I don't know that we missed them or if we just didn't know what we were looking for. Because the sky, when you looked up, it looked vaguely, it was still dark, but maybe kind of purplish. And if you looked long enough, you could maybe make the streaks. But it took a while to sort of get that sense. So it's possible that we've seen them and just didn't know what we were looking at.
And that's what I was getting at before. Is like, I think I'm sharing this with people in the past, but I'm wondering, did I share it with them in the past? Like, how often did people actually see the Aurora Borealis with their naked eye? It's one of those things now I don't know, because there's no way to show me, like, You can't show me in northern Sweden, like, look, you can see it with your naked eye because they're showing me a video of it or right. a camera
still
exposure
what
of it.
The camera sees.
Right. I would have to go and physically see it with my own eyes to see what it looks like naked.
It was. It was really cool. I feel very fortunate that we were able to see that. I feel that, you know, this is a once in a lifetime event for a lot of us. So thank you, Sky.
Hey, it's 5 past the hour. We've turned your boring Facebook feed into an audio version. How's everybody doing on this Monday? So let's talk about Buscemi was walking down the street in Manhattan and he got punched. The weird thing about this is that this is a story that made the rounds very late last night on Sunday, which is the last day of the week. But apparently this happened on Wednesday.
It did. So this happened Wednesday last week and the police did put out a statement at that time, but they didn't name Buscemi by name as the victim of this attack. It was first reported by name. Via New York Post. I don't know if this is something that that Steve Buscemi's publicist was like, maybe there's a limit how long they can go without naming people.
There is. We've dealt with this before. If there's a crime against someone, they can only hold the information for a certain amount of time. And it's basically just like the acceptable amount of time to process paperwork. And after that, it has to go into the public domain as part of the public record. Probably varies depending on state. But yeah, so they can hold it for a while. And sometimes the police are very gracious about it. The press tends not to be. And to the point where even like they will have to publish addresses and things like that. If this had happened at his home, the press could have potentially, depending on the state, gotten his actual address and posted it.
He was first named in this attack, I believe, via the New York Post, which I think it's kind of a tabloidy publication.
It's got that in your face. Eastern Seaboard attitude.
Well, allow me to read you the first sentence from the article. It seems no one is safe on the streets of the Big Apple these days. Not even beloved hometown actor and Brooklyn native Steve Buscemi.
Oh, wait. Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, this is Steve Buscemi.
It is.
Having something that's reportable while in the city of New York. I'm putting down 10 bucks right now. They mentioned that he was a firefighter at some point and an additional 10 bucks with you, Ashley, that they mention he went into active duty on 9/11. Go ahead.
Allow me to continue reading. Buscemi has been a beloved figure in his native New York and famously rushed to the side of the World Trade Center.
Oh, I got it right before they said it.
After the 9/11 terror attack to join his former fire company, Engine 55.
National hero, everybody.
It is interesting, though. It's like there's no article about Steve Buscemi that does not mention.
If it's in New York, they have to mention that he was an active firefighter and that he went into duty on 9/11. They have to. It's an obligation to do that.
Mind you, very noble thing to do. So, sure. You know what? Call that out for eternity. I think it's awesome.
Well, the good news, this is breaking news, actually. They have a suspect in custody and they have a statement from him. Here it is.
Go ahead.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
You know, what's interesting about this is
guy sounds unhinged.
a lot of these articles as well are calling him out as a star of Boardwalk Empire. And interestingly enough, one of his Boardwalk Empire co-stars, Michael Stuhlbarg, was hit in the back of the neck with a rock while walking in Manhattan Central Park in March.
Really?
So, yeah. So two attacks on Boardwalk Empire stars in this year. Bernie Burns.
But it's weird that it happened twice, right?
But Steve Buscemi's okay. We should get back to the story. The reason why we're talking about this a little bit more flippantly is he's okay. But what a fucking asshole that walks down the street. How old is Steve Buscemi, according to the article?
He is 66.
Get the fuck out of here. Guy walks down the street and punches a 66-year-old dude in the face.
Yeah, there have been a lot of random attacks happening in New York. Like, just people just, like, walking up and punching people. I don't know if this is a thing, but just the same, keep your arms up.
And look at that nose.
Arms up.
All the time, every moment.
Every moment, arms up.
New York's kind of an interesting place. I've actually seen more famous people on the street in New York than I ever have in LA. And I guess it's probably a density thing more than anything else. But I feel like I've run into, like, just walked and go, hey, walk past somebody and go, that's, I don't know why I'm remembering this, but that's Max Weinberg.
Oh, God. Is this where I tell the story about Amy Poehler?
No, that was in LA, babe.
I know it was in LA, but it's
like, can I tell the story from my perspective?
Go ahead, please.
Which is
funnier,
your perspective or my perspective?
You go ahead. You're the better storyteller.
I took Ashley, because Ashley likes weird ceremonial stuff. I took her to a restaurant in West Hollywood when we were in LA once, where they had a clam chowder flight.
It was delightful.
It was like, imagine like a champagne flight, which is, if you're completely uncivilized.
Or a beer flight, like anything.
Right? Or a beer flight. It's just a little sampling of different things. So it was a sampling of like four different clam chowders. And I thought, dear Lord, this is exactly the kind of thing that Ashley would love. So I took her to it. She absolutely
loved
it.
You got my number.
What was the name of the place? It was a restaurant that had like two people's names.
I have no idea. Like, I'm sure someone who is based in LA will be able to tell
us. I
want to
say Don and Bob's, but Don and Bob's is a place where we get hamburgers in Rochester when I was a kid. So good. I think the hamburgers you have as a kid shape you for life. Like that's what a hamburger is to you forever. Did you see the viral video that was going around this weekend of shrinkflation of Big Macs where somebody like disassembled a Big Mac and they showed the hamburger patty was like wafer thin. The hamburger was now thinner than the slices of pickles.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty thin. No, yeah. I did not see that.
We can post that video in the linked up. I don't know what market that's from. It might be from even outside the U.S. Who knows? But one of the things about McDonald's is they're very famous for being homogenous in all their branding and their offerings
around the world.
Yeah. But we had this clam chowder flight. If I recall correctly, your favorite clam chowder was the New England.
I do enjoy it. Yes.
I learned on that night there are some tomato based clam chowders that are red. That scared the shit out of me looking at that when it arrived. So we're going to leave. And I'm walking out, and I see there's a group of people at a table enjoying a lovely night out. And I see that one of them is the famous comedian Amy Poehler. And I think that's nice. She's out with her friends. She's having a great time. Hey, there's Amy Poehler. I'm a big fan, but I'm just going to like just log this and not ruin her evening by saying hello or anything like that. Not going to inconvenience her. Wouldn't ruin her evening, I'm sure. But then I notice my wife, my lovely wife, is staring down Amy Poehler, like just we're walking down a ramp and she's looking at her with this look on her face like, what?
It was all like squinty, right?
Squinty. That's a great way to put it. Just squinting, like squint glare, like somewhere straddling that line, looking at Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler looks at her, looks back to her friends that's talking, then looks back, makes eye contact with Ashley again, and then mimics her face perfectly, like squints back at her like that. And I thought, my wife's got beef with Amy Poehler. I gotta hear this story. Turns out Ashley didn't know who she was, but recognized her and thought she knew her and was trying to get like her attention.
I was trying to place her. But here's the thing: is the reason the reason that I was squinting is because I'm just nearsighted enough that I thought, you know, I was like trying to get her clear in my vision. You know, squinting just a little bit, and I was like, oh. Crap. Where do I know her from? I was trying to like think of like all the places that I might know her from. I was completely neglecting to remember that we were in fucking LA where all the people that I see on my screen every day are from. And so I accidentally glared down one of my comedy heroes trying to place her and figure out why I knew her. To this day, I think about it and I go, oh my God, Ashley, what's wrong with you?
This lasted but a brief few moments, but it was easily remembered because after the way it worked was we're walking down the ramp. This takes place. I get down to the valet station with Ashley and I go, what's the fucking deal with you and Amy Poehler? And Ashley goes, oh shit. Instantaneously. So, yeah.
Life does not stop and start at your convenience, you miserable piece of shit.
But yeah, I'm glad Steve Buscemi is okay. Anybody who goes and punches a 66-year-old beloved icon in the face, go fuck yourself, whoever you are.
Seriously.
Did they catch this guy? He just ran off.
No, they're on, as the New York Post puts it, the lamb.
They're on the lamb.
Yeah, they actually used the term the lamb in this article.
Dude, you do not want to be the guy. Here's my advice to this dude. Leave New York. Leave New York and don't come back. Like, they put your picture on the front of the New York Post, you will be persona non grata.
Hey, Bernie, I think we just need to take a step back. Maybe the guy was nearsighted and didn't realize it was Steve Buscemi. He just thought he knew him from somewhere else and just had to throw a punch.
Yeah, maybe so.
He has no idea that's who he punched. His friend's like, what's your beef with Steve Buscemi? Oh, shit.
Oh, that was him? Oh, my God. They're going to mention the 9/11 thing on this article, aren't they?
I thought I punched someone completely different. Moving on to something perhaps less embarrassing. Bernie, did you know that if you sign up to Bumble, you're going to be able to have an AI date someone else's AI for you, so you don't even have to meet the person you dating.
This is one of those things that's like, I understand what she's saying, the CEO of Bumble, but I don't get it, right?
So this is Whitney Wolf-Herd was discussing during the Bloomberg Technology Summit, basically like the future of using AI in the dating space. And she floated specifically this idea of an AI dating concierge. So you fill out your profile and you talk to it and it gets a sense of who you are. And then your AI concierge goes and talks to someone else's AI dating concierge and they get together and they discuss whether you and this other person might be compatible.
No. Listen, does anyone think we're going to have that perfect of a proxy? And how embarrassed are you going to be when your like AI becomes the pariah of this service and gets friend-zoned by all the other AI? It's going to be terrible.
Hey, Bernie. You auto-complete me.
And I bet most of the AI would immediately recognize Amy Poehler if they saw it. Immediately. And they wouldn't need 5 clam chowders to do it. They could do it on 1 clam Look, chowder.
I was high on clam chowder. Don't judge me.
I had to find the name of that restaurant.
But yeah, this we make fun of this, but also, you and I, we started dating just before things like Tinder took off. Neither of us have ever used a dating app. So we don't actually know even how people date now.
How do you think you would do on a dating app? I don't think I'd do very well on a dating
app. Oh, I'd do terrible.
You really think so?
I think I would do terrible.
You'd put way too much like dorky video game stuff on there. I got to say that for you. You'd have to do that.
I would. It would not help me out.
I would probably try to be too funny.
So I guess this is where
also guys my age, you got to do the fish. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to have the fish or standing in front of the plane.
Maybe
you know,
this is where
like
we would have concierges to help us out. Be like, look, are you sure you want to put that? Do you know what kind of other AI concierges you would be attracting with if you put that on there?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like at what point, you know, do they then turn it over to you? Like
Right. Then
it's weird because you're going through like a matchmaking service. It kind of goes back to the algorithmic stuff of like eHarmony, right? Isn't that what you used to do on that stuff or Match.com?
Yeah,
when you fill out all these surveys.
Was it eHarmony where you had to go through and you had to fill out a whole bunch of things and then they would decide who you're compatible with as opposed to, you know, I think that the Tinder models, the like swipe left, hot, swipe right, not, I don't, like, no, thank you.
You're doing a very convincing job of acting like you don't know how these apps work. Very convincing over there.
No, but you remember?
Almost fooled me. Let me see your phone.
Already uninstalled it. So I don't know. Maybe it would be helpful. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it would help like weed out the definitely non-compatible types. Or maybe it would be a disaster. Whatever it is, OpenAI wants in on it. They've got some kind of announcement coming. So they've got some kind of live stream press conference today. You said it was 10 a.m. Pacific?
Yeah, as tech companies tend to do. Today, Monday, May 13th at 10 a.m. Pacific, OpenAI is going to have some kind of live stream where it's assumed they're going to announce something. And of course, the singularity world is going nuts over everything that Sam Altman is tweeting and liking as well. And his most recent like on X, formerly known as Twitter, formerly known as Tweeter, his most recent like is somebody tweeting that I'm watching the movie Her on a loop getting ready for OpenAI's announcement today. So that's kind of interesting. So in the line of the Bumble CEO talking about this AI concierge, which really it's kind of like a matchmaker is what it is.
Seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. Now there's more like gossip and rumor and speculation about the potential of OpenAI now having a Her style assistant that helps you with your daily life.
Interesting. Well,
which is interesting because in the movie, Joaquin Phoenix ends up dating his assistant. Would you be jealous if I had an AI girlfriend?
Yes.
Like it wasn't a person out there in the world. It was an algorithm in a computer. And I.
Yes, I would.
You would?
Yes, because okay. It's not about her. It's about you.
Okay.
And where your emotional focus is. And Bernie, better be right here.
Right. I got to say checked in all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Do
all
you want to...
The time.
Let me ask you another question. Do you really want 100% of my focus? Do you want that? Is that something that would make the quality of your life better?
Do I not have 100%?
Listen, I'm playing Fallout New Vegas right now. So in the back of my mind, I'm also going over and over again in my mind that meme of the cat singing, I go meow.
I go meow.
I read a horrible stat that the average person now has over over, over meaning greater than 6 hours of screen time a day.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot when you.
But I get it.
Oh, I get it too.
Yeah.
I get the feeling I'm at or over average. And I get it because it's easy to like, you check in and you just like spend a minute here and there, but it ends up being about a third of your waking day, right?
So let me ask that question again, because now you have perspective on that. If I'm on average and I'm 6 hours a day paying attention to my phone, let me stand up so you can take in all this majesty. Do you want 6 more hours a day of this? Do you know what you're asking for?
Look, I'll share you with the ghouls and no one else.
Dad, just me and the ghouls and that's it. I ran into a ghoul in Fallout New Vegas for the first time.
Just me and the ghouls going out.
It was underwhelming after Walton Goggins' amazing performance as the ghoul.
A little bit disappointing.
He's going to get an Emmy, isn't he? He's going to get nominated.
I hope so. He's fantastic in that role.
All right. While we're talking about entertainment stuff, Planet of the Apes or Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is where we're at now.
Came out of the gate roaring.
Here's the thing. I think we just have a thing for apes because the last big one was King Kong.
I would say biggest. I don't know that I would say big. Like you're talking about Godzilla X Kong that came out
earlier.
Yeah,
the one where Godzilla and Kong team up and go to, I don't know, some Kongiverse.
Yeah.
And also doesn't King Kong also have like his mecha arm.
Right.
And that was like a huge one of the box office. And everyone at the time, all the headlines were like, oh my God, the box office is getting an early start this summer. And then it fell off a cliff again.
You know, I think the big spectacle movies are always going to draw people in. And I do hate to say it because it's just always the case. It's a sequel or a reboot or a franchise that people are familiar with. And that's what people go see at the box office. And people always get upset with Hollywood for making adaptations or sequels or reboots. But it's what people go and they support. Even back when we were doing the crowdfunding stuff, when we broke the record for the most ever funded movie on Indiegogo back in 2014, all the top movies for crowdfunding, which is supposed to have this huge, you know, revolution in original content, it was all sequels and reboots, man. It was all like Veronica Mars, and it was Zach Braff's spiritual successor to Garden State. Those were the other ones at the top of that list when we hit number one. And it was so crazy to me because it's like, here's crowdfunding. Everyone says they hate sequels and reboots, but when it comes time to fund something or buy a ticket at the box office, that's what they do.
It's interesting you say that because that's something that I feel like Disney's taking a bit of heat for at the moment, but they are coming from like, this is where people put their money, so this is what we're going to do. They said that they're dramatically like cutting back on their slate and they're refocusing on a lot of sequels and franchises that they know work well.
Yeah.
Which means expect less original stuff and more follow-ups. Because we're in a place where that's what people are willing to back.
I think we're even starting to have that within franchises now. Like, look how many people are getting excited about the rumors that both Captain America and Iron Man could be back in the Marvel universe. You know, people, when they go to movies, they want to see things they're familiar with. And you can get them in there, get the butts in the seats doing that, and then show them original stuff or, you know, take a left turn and provide them with something that they weren't expecting. But really what's going to get them to show up is the stuff they already know and love.
Yeah. So in a way, our own worst enemies.
In our way. Well, or why be upset about it? You know what I mean? People complain about it. You can still go see the original movies. They exist. Go out there and watch them. It's one of the best parts of the developments of like the epic digital series that have been produced over the last like decade. You know, it's some of the coolest original media has been produced during that time. You know, and for some reason, there was shitloads of money available to do it. We're coming to the end of it, but a lot of new properties got discovered.
That's true.
And now we'll get those adapted into movies.
Sequels forever.
Steve Buscemi and Amy Poehler in
Side Eye.
Well, I'm glad that Steve Buscemi is well recovered. I can only hope that Amy Poehler has equally as recovered from the social faux pas of Ashley at the clam chowder restaurant.
Oh God. Oh, that's going to be with me forever.
And a weird offshoot of our world too. The reason that I found out that the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes did well at the box office is because of all things. It was the Wall Street Bets Apes were all telling each other to go watch the movie because that would help the AMC stock. So it's like apes the entire way down,
apes,
Ashley.
Together, strong.
Speaking of incredible kingdoms built on beloved properties, we would like to thank
today's sponsors for Morning Somewhere, Nick Taylor and Rohan K. Thank you for sponsoring this episode of Morning Somewhere.
Rohan, you gotta say Rohan like that.
Well, yeah, I was gonna make a joke about being a writer, but
you think they've heard that enough in their life?
Yeah, then I was like, they probably get that a lot.
All right, Nick and Rohan, thank you very much.
They'll have to settle for a little side eye.
And thank you to everyone else for listening to today's podcast. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you will be here as well.
Bye, everybody.